You're just tired. I mean, just anything that we could just think of. Every time you went to God about that, there was something, it just happened. How awesome would that be? Just, it's happened every time. It'd be pretty awesome, right? Well, there's a great thing about a relationship with Jesus, and that is that he has furnished us a way that our prayers can be answered every time. Some of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that'd be awesome, but that doesn't always happen, Pastor Brent. I pray sometimes don't see anything happen. And some of you may even be sitting there thinking, well, I doubt that's ever going to happen. People be seeing that happen way too often if that was the case. Well, God did make a way for us to have our prayers answered every time. Any challenges that come up our way, he's given us instructions and the ability to use it. And that's what the title of this message is today. This is called The Answer. And if you will turn to Matthew, if you've already turned, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, says these words, "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." Now flip over to Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 11. "It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always," look at your neighbor and say always, "always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." That's a powerful statement right there. Not only is his word never going to pass away, but it always produces fruit, always accomplishes what he wants it to do, and prospers everywhere he sends it. How many of you got some of the word on the inside of you? This applies to you. I don't think you caught that. I said, this applies to you. If you have the Bible and the word of God on the inside of you, it's never going to pass away. It's always going to produce fruit. It's always going to do what he wants it to do. And it's always going to prosper. Come on, somebody. Y'all need to start putting this together. If it's in you, it's always going to do these things. Now, God created everything with the words that came out of his mouth. In Genesis chapter 1, if you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." Now, if you skip down to verse number 3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now notice what happened there. He said it, and it happened. He said it, and it happened. Y'all know that anytime God speaks, he's always speaking his word. You know, he can't say anything else except his word. I mean, if God says it, it's not like he's saying anything else but his word. And so when he said, "Let it be light, let there be light," guess what was God's will? That there would be light. And then when he spoke to the nothingness and created land and water and all that stuff, guess what was his will for the land and the water? And when he spoke to the fish and the sea to be born and the animals, and guess what was his will? What he was saying. This is the pattern that God created everything with, speaking his words. And everything that comes out of God's mouth creates something from nothing, and it's always his will. Okay? The word is the answer that you need in your life. Whose word? God's word. The answer to everything you will ever face in your life. Now, I want to look at a lady in the Bible. Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to go now. I want to look at a story. It's a very famous story. You know, there's some stories in the Bible you kind of go, is that really in the Bible? Because it's not one of the ones they ever make movies about. You know, they don't ever talk about them in the documentaries or anything. But then there are stories like this that's like been told countless times, and you've seen depictions of it and things like that. But this is the lady with the issue of blood. Now, she is going through a lot of stuff here, and we're going to read about her. Verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Whew, bless her heart. And had suffered many things from many physicians. Now, I want you to notice these next words. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now I want to back up here and look in verse 26, these words. It says, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. Then it says this, she had spent all she had, everything, and she had gotten no better, but only gotten worse. Now, this is a lady that's sick and has an affliction, but I want us to take this and just apply it to our own lives. What kind of problems are you facing that you're trying to fix yourself? And you're throwing money at it, and you're throwing time at it. Let's take it a little step further. You're throwing worry at it. You're throwing anxiety at it. Come on now, you're throwing everything you know to think of at it, and it ain't getting no better. Now, you can end up like this lady if you keep this up, because she spent everything she had and didn't get any better. There are problems that come and face us that we don't have the ability to fix. There are things that come against us that we, if we could fix it, it'd already be done. If there were things that we could solve ourselves, you know, I heard a guy say it one time. I like to say it sometimes too. If we could just fix it, everything ourselves, we'd all be skinny, rich, and happy. We would. There would be no poverty. There would be no sickness. There'd be no obesity. We'd all just be, you know, we'd all form the good-looking club, and we'd just all walk around and, you know. But there are some things that, you know, I mean, think about where you are in your life right now. You've risen to the level of things that you know, God has taken you someplace, but then there's only so much that you've allowed him to move in your life. And the rest of it, you're sitting there trying to figure out yourself. So my question to you is this, how much are you going to spend in order to solve that? God has a system set up for things to change when we pray or when we have a need, things to change. And he's not just going to rewrite the system because we get uncomfortable. You know, he writes a system and puts it in place. This is how things work. And we all kind of go, well, you know, I kind of need this to happen this way. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's miracles and there are creative things that happen. But, you know, those aren't the norm. If they were, they'd be happening all the time. There'd just be creative miracles happening all the time. You know, that's not the norm. You know, I know there are spectacular moves of the Spirit, but you know, the spectacular doesn't always happen. It's not the norm. I know people have visions and epiphanies, and Jesus appears at the foot of their bed and takes his finger and writes it on the wall what they're supposed to do, and it burns, and it's like, you know, I know those kind of things have happened. But you know, that's not the norm. He's actually set up a system that's the norm. And of course, he can move out of that if he wants to, but I I'm totally open to that. But if the majority of it's going to happen in the norm, then I guess I ought to know what the norm is. because I want to get into the greater flow of where God's answers are always at, and I'm not relying on the grand slam home run all the time. Well, some people are like, well, you know, we're just waiting for a miracle. Well, okay, miracles can happen. But you can have something happen right now, all the time, and you can be living in that flow constantly. We have to learn to do things the way God wants us to do them. We have to get the answer. And when we do, we run headlong into them, into what we're looking for. So how do I get in on this answer? Well, the first thing I want to ask you is this. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? What does that have to do with anything, Pastor Brent? What does that have to do with anything? What you hear or what you have communicated to you will shape what you believe. You know, it doesn't come any other way. Faith doesn't just come out of nowhere. What you believe doesn't just, you're just suddenly walking down the street and suddenly you just believe something. It is communicated to you from somewhere, and then you make a choice of whether or not that's true. So what are you hearing? Listen, all you got to do right now is turn on the TV and find somebody to agree with you about how bad things are. And it's about on every channel. Listen, I love conservative talk radio as much as the next person, but I can only listen to Rush so long, and I got to turn him off. I'm like, look, okay, yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but man, I can't keep listening to that and have my faith strong.
That's right.
I love Fox News as much as I got to turn it off. I love CNN. I like to get information about what's going on, but there's only so much I can sit and listen to about how bad and weak the economy is and still keep my faith strong. I can only keep listening to how, well, this new superbug here and sickness of this over here, and there's a possibility that Russia is going to invade Ukraine, and there's only so many bad things I can keep listening to, and my faith still remains strong. If I keep listening to that, eventually what's going to happen? My faith's going to get weak and weak and weak and weak. Doesn't mean I'm ignorant. Doesn't mean I don't know what's going on. You know? I mean, here we are 50-some days later. Is Flight 370 in the ocean, or did somebody hijack and they're going to load it up with nukes? I don't know, but I can only keep listening to that so long before my faith starts waning in God. What are you listening to? What are you constantly feeding yourself on? Oh, here comes, I post it just as much as the next one. Here comes another scare about your insurance. You may have to lose your plan again. I posted it the other day, but I can only listen to that for so long, and then I'm turning it off. I'm done. I'm not listening to it anymore. Okay, there's a chance it may change again. Okay, I'm done. Not going to listen to it anymore. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 says this, so then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, Brother Hagin, who's my mentor, he used to say it this way. So then faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We could just put a comma there and just make it go on forever. What you hear continuously shapes what you believe. So what are you hearing? Oh, it's bad. We may have to close. Well, what are you basing that on? Is the Holy Spirit leading you that way? Or are you just afraid because of what you're hearing? Oh, I may have to start looking for a job elsewhere. You know, they're going to fire me. Well, did they come tell you that? Or are you afraid because of what you're hearing, rumors and all kinds of stuff like that? Oh, I don't know. What are you hearing? Look what this little lady did here. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. When she heard, what you'll hear will affect what you believe. Now, how many of you remember this rule when you were growing up? I before E. Come on now. Except after C. Anybody else remember that from school? I remember hearing that and I was like, locked. Got it forever. Until I had a spelling test with the word eight. protein, or efficient, or weird, ancient, or there. Air, slay, species, Einstein. We could go on and on. I mean, look at all those words. That rule does not apply. 63% of the time it does. That's a D in school, folks. That's not passing. That rule does not apply. But how many of you took a test thinking that rule applied and they had to come back and go, oh, it's wrong? I did. Locked in there. I got it. I before E except after C. Bam. Got a big red X on there. And I remember asking the teacher, I'm like, hey, what happened to I before E except after C? And this was her response. Well, not always. You could have told me that the day of. But here I am believing that it's so. Now I want you to catch this. You can't raise your faith to a God-pleasing, God-receiving level without hearing what God has to say about things. You cannot raise your faith to a God-pleasing, God-receiving level without hearing what God has to say about those things. Now, even if you hear something that is true right now, I want to say to you this. What God has to say about it is more true than what you face right now. How many people can we, I mean, we could line them up from here and probably stretch around the world. People that get diagnosed with the disease and then they go to check them out and gone. Why? Because what God says is more true. It may be true right now, but what God's word says is more true. So I'm going to sit and listen to that. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, what doctors say are evil. It doesn't mean that, you know listen, I've heard, when I was a Bible college professor, we'd see people literally laying there just sick as a dog, like, if you don't go to the doctor, you're going to die. Oh, no, I can't. No, they're going to tell me something horrible. I say, yeah, let them tell you something horrible so we know where to put our faith. I never thought of that. I mean, you're sitting here just blanket, you know, trying to come up with this stuff, and you don't have any idea what you're believing for. You don't know if you're just, if you got the flu or if you got, you know, leprosy. You don't know. You have no idea. Oh, they're going to tell me. I heard this a million times. They're going to give me an evil report. Well, praise God, you know what that word is. But listen, even if you hear something that's true right now, you can go and hear something even more true. How can God's word be more true than something you're facing? Because God's word's what's created everything. Even if you hear something more that's true right now, what God says about it is more true. You need to allow yourselves the important input of God's words and what it says constantly. You have to keep hearing it. There was an author that wrote a great book called Christ the Healer named F.F. Bosworth. And he said these words, people will feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day, but their spirits 1 cold snack a week. If you're going to receive the answer in your life, you have to be hearing what God says about the things you're facing. And then you have to keep on hearing it and keep on hearing it and keep on hearing it. Next thing. Once you hear it, then you got to start saying it. Now, I know some people immediately go to, isn't that confess it and possess it business? Not really, because I don't believe in just blind confession. I don't think you can just say something and it just happens. But I do believe that when you speak what God speaks, things change. Now, look at this little lady here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. She, and then look what she says here. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, when your words line up with what God's words say, you actually unleash God's power to move freely into your life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Now, I want you to notice she didn't quote an exact scripture here. There was nowhere else in the Bible that you can go and find the scripture that says, if I may touch the hem of his garment, that's what the King James says, if I could just touch the edge of his clothes, I'll be made well. That's nowhere in scripture. But what she was saying was based upon God's word because she had actually heard this taught growing up. Isaiah the prophet had been said these things. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Thousands of years before Jesus was even born, Isaiah told the Jewish nation about the Messiah coming to heal. She heard this, and then she heard about this happening now. And so then what? She started saying that. If I can touch him, I'm going to be well. What are you constantly letting come out of your mouth? Are you saying the same things are you saying the same thing that your circumstances are saying? Because they're probably contrary to God's word. Your words are forming and framing a world that you're living in right now. Oh man, we're in financial trouble. I don't know how we're going to make it. Oh, my boss hates me. He's probably going to fire me. Cancer killed everybody in my family. It's probably going to kill me too. Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, they are. The odds might be in favor of that. But see, that's the whole point of changing what you believe so that you can say something else and declare what God's word is going to do for you. This is the answer. I start saying it in the face of what I know. I know some people that'll say bad things and then turn around and say, see, I told you. Well, yeah, you did. You told me right that it was going to happen and you made it happen. Change what you're saying. You know, you ought to change it, not just in the big stuff. We all want to change it in the face of the big stuff. You know, people get sick, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. They'll say it. You know, they're lacking money. Oh, my God shall supply all my needs. They'll say it. But, you know, they'll turn around and actually make the exact opposite kind of things when it comes to dealing with somebody. You know, they drive me crazy. You know, I just really can't stand them. You know, they don't like me very much. You know, they're just out to get me. Change what you're saying. This little lady said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. What did she declared what was going to happen because it was based on what she had heard. If you'll go and hear what God's word says and then you start saying it, you actually can start changing the whole makeup of the world around you. One writer said it this way. You said that you could not, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You said that you did not have faith, and doubt rose up in you like a giant and bound you to where you are. You spoke failure, and failure held you in bondage. If you talk about your challenges, your difficulties, your lack of faith, your lack of money, your symptoms of sickness, your faith will shrivel up and shrink. But if you speak what God speaks, you're putting to work the same power that created everything, then it can change everything. What things are you needing to see different in your life that you aren't saying what God's word says about it? You know, I'm living it. I'm living it. I'm walking it right now. This is a challenge I face every day. Thursday night crew can tell you, how much are we believing for on Sunday mornings? 150. We say it every week, and we come to church, and there's 80 people. Well, you look like an idiot standing up there saying that then. No, I don't. I'm changing, come on, the atmosphere around me. Well, yeah. Listen, you don't think we're making headway? Why do you think they started working out there early? We're making headway. So we didn't think about that. So we weren't speaking against anything like that. We just kept saying, we're 150, 150. We just kept saying it. Well, what was that? Now, where's that at in the Bible? The Lord added, come on, to their numbers daily, those that should be saved. That's what I was standing on. I'm standing on it. I'm hearing it. I'm putting it in all the time. I didn't think about, they're going to put a big front end loader in the front and start dumping dirt and tearing up the parking lot. And I didn't think about that. It never occurred to me. So I didn't speak against it. But you don't tell me the devil isn't nervous about what we're doing here. This just happened to be before Easter. Our biggest outreach of the year and our biggest service of the year. Our words are framing, come on, the world around us. So, what are you saying in your life right now that you need to see changed? What are you giving way to? The bad stuff around you, are you trying to change it? Or are you just going, yeah, and accepting it? All right? The next thing is do it. Brother Hagin said this, your actions defeat you or they'll put you over. According to your actions, you receive or you are kept from receiving. Now let's look at this little woman in Mark chapter 5. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had a whole lot working against her. She was sick. She's weak, she's anemic, but she didn't allow that to stop her, okay? In fact, she didn't even ask God to move the obstacles. She actually walked on top of them. She goes down there after hearing that Jesus is coming. She goes down there, and in the face of being down there, she's already broken the law by being there. Women with the issue of blood were like lepers. They weren't allowed out in public. They were considered unclean. So she's got that going against her. Plus, she doesn't feel good. There is a million people down, maybe not a million, but there's several thousand people following him around. I mean, we know in a couple instances there was 5,000 men by themselves. So if, let's say half of those guys had wives, that's 7,500. Plus, if they have kids, we're talking 10,000 people following Jesus around at least. Okay? And she goes down there weak, anemic, crowd all around, breaking the law that tells her she's not allowed to come out. And we're not talking United States after the Women's Liberation Movement. We're talking back in you're a single woman, and it's even worse. You're not even allowed to talk to men. This is a bad time for her. But she doesn't stop. She goes on with what she's heard and what she said, and now she goes and does it. She walks right past everybody. She pushes through. Somehow or another, she gets strength that she doesn't have. She came, verse 27, she came behind him in the crowd. Now we get this movie version of this, and we see like all of a sudden the crowd parted and she was able to sneak through. This says she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Her actions showed her faith. That's what James says when he says faith without works is dead. You can't go and just see. Even that picture right there is not really a good picture because there's a space around her. Like, this is the way we picture it. But it would be more like you going to a show at the Amway Center and trying to get up near the stage. That's more like what we're talking about, with 1,000 other people jumping around. And here's this little anemic woman pushing through. You want me to get that? She went out in the crowd where she was not allowed to go. You need to start preparing yourself like the answer is at hand. Because it is in hand spiritually. You need to start doing it. Well, I really don't have the money to do it. Well, you ought to get up to the point right where you do have to have it. You ought to prepare yourself like you do. You know, I mean, right now we're going to be moving here in 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm chomping at the bit. I mean, I'm like, let's just start loading up the stuff and get it out of here. Okay? So I'm like, I'm at the point to start loading the truck. Okay? I'm ready. I mean, I'm having to hold back from ordering all the stuff that needs to be delivered over there and you know, the stuff for the kids area, and I'm just like so ready to make it happen. We got the money set aside, we're all ready to go, and I have to sit and wait. Because we can't do anything in there. I'm just gonna go over there and sit if I do it right now. So I'm literally there. This is how you have to do when it comes to the thing you're facing. You need to go ahead and prepare everything else like you've already got what you're looking for. And when it shows up, you just step right into it. Like, you just go ahead and, you know, it's like down here it's a foreign concept, but you know, you used to have to go and start your car to warm it up north when it gets cold, and you go and you start, and then thank God they came out with them remote starters so you didn't have to go outside anymore. You Florida people forgot that. Like, amen, hallelujah, take a lap on that. But you used to go and start, this is what I'm talking about, starting the car, getting ready to go, let it warm up. Go ahead and just act like it's so. Why? Because it is. You're saying it, you're hearing it, you might as well go ahead and act like it. Prepare yourself like the answer is in your hand, because it is in your hand spiritually. Stop putting off the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll look down on the inside, He's telling you to get ready for it anyway. Step out there on that invisible bridge and watch God meet you there. Which brings us to the last point, and that's this. Receive it. So we got hear it, say it, do it, receive it. Mark chapter 5, verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in herself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 34, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now I want you to notice something. The feeling and the healing didn't come until the saying and the doing. Catch that. The healing and the feeling didn't come until the saying and the doing. Now, it's not the saying and the doing that does anything. It's the power of God that does it. But what she activated, that power of God in her life, by her saying and by her doing. How do you activate the power of God in your life to get saved? You say, and you do. How do we activate the power of God for anything else? We say, and we do. It didn't come till she did. So many people say that they'll say and do once they feel. But it was her saying and her doing, based on what she heard, that brought the power of God, and that's what brought the feeling and the healing. She came, and then she received. Now, there are plenty of times that people will get something and go, "I can't believe it. I mean, it's actually here." I mean, you ever had something good happen to you and you kind of scratch it? "Well, wow, I just can't believe it's here." What if she had done that? What if she suddenly, she's not bleeding anymore, and she feels within her, the Bible says she felt her blood had dried up. And so what if she said, I can't believe it. Oh my gosh. Here, take this back. I'm unworthy. I mean, seriously, in her mind, she was unworthy. Society had been telling her that. She gladly received it. She came and fell down and worshiped Jesus and thanked him for what he had done for her. And we need to do this. If you're going to receive something, you ought to tell him thank you. You're going to get a blessing from God. You need to be grateful for it. When it shows up, don't have a, I can't believe it. You ought to say, yeah, and let your faith grow and get stronger for the next time. Oh, there's going to be a next time? Yeah. And every time there's a next one, the challenge may be bigger, but come on, somebody, the reward is always bigger. You have to allow your faith to get so strong that it changes what you're saying, it changes what you're doing, and then you receive what you need. It's like plugging into a never-ending supply of power with an extension cord. The only way you get it is to put the prongs into the outlet. The only way that you get it is to do and to say and receive and say, yes, it's mine. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you one more thing and we'll close. After you receive it, you need to go tell it. Mark chapter 5, verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. You know, somebody needs to hear what God has done, is doing, and is going to do for you. This is how other people's faith grows. You're there in Mark chapter 5. Back up a few verses to verse 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Verse 20, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis, all that Jesus had done for him. Now look at this, the last three words. And all marveled. And all marveled. All that you are, all that you have or do not have is the result of what you believed and said and did. But all you're going to have from here on out is based on that same thing. And if you tell somebody, Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11 says, as they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. It's not about just keeping this stuff inside. It's not about being ashamed. It's not about being quiet. Well, this is a private thing God did for me. No, God doesn't do stuff for us to just be private. He understands that this might be a personal thing for you, and you don't have to give us all the gory details, and we don't need to know everything, but we ought to know the end result. Believe me, it's speaking loud enough, the fact that you're still here anyway. If you're supposed to die and you're still here, we all know God's doing something. If you're supposed to be out of money and you still got money, we all know God's doing something, and you want to see it happen more, you ought to tell somebody. You ought to go and tell somebody. If you're believing for something right now, go ahead and tell somebody what God's going to do for you. Oh, I ain't done it yet. That's awful bold. Yeah, it's bold. That's what faith is. I'm going to tell somebody. People ask me all the time, how many people you got in your church right now? And everything within me has to go, we're running about 80. But we have 150. What do you mean you have? I thought you said you was running 80. Oh, that's who shows up. We got 150. We got 150. Oh, man, that sounds awful dumb, Brent. That sounds, oh my gosh. Don't you feel like you're looking stupid? No, what am I doing? I'm testifying to the goodness of God for what he's going to do in my life. I'm framing, come on, the world around me. What do you need in your life right now? Go ahead and tell somebody what God's doing for you. What are you facing right now? Go ahead and tell somebody what God's going to do for you. What are we basing that on? What we see, what we hear, come on, what we say, and what we do. Hear it, say it, do it, receive it, tell it. Amen. Praise God. Let's wrap it up. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the answer and the system that you've put in place for our life to change. And Lord, this is not just empty confessing. Lord, this is not just, oh man, just pipe dreams and living in the sweet by and by. But Lord, I thank you that this is real and more real than the world we live in now. More real than anything we face now. More real than anything challenging that's coming our way. This is more real. And Father, I thank you that as we speak, we do, we receive, and we tell, we thank you that the fruit bears and shows and the whole world sees it. And people will glorify you because of what they see in us. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him like we're talking about, listen, it is the easiest thing in the world. You can have a relationship with Jesus and all these things that we're talking about start working for you. These things will start working for you. So if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, I'm going to lead you in a prayer and I want you to say it with me. And I want you to receive Jesus into your life so that you can begin to change and reframe your world. Father, I come before you today a sinner. But I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he's Lord of all. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creature. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, sing.